It's a Friday. That means it's a Ben Fred Friday on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Again, if you'd like to tell us what you think of this, just tweet at us, or you can email me as well. Just go to the website. My email is there, and let us know what you think, or if there's some topics that you want us to get into as well. Remember, Bernie Miklas writing every single day on Scoops with Danny Mac about the St. Louis Cardinals. Martin Kilcoyne contributing with some great guests as well. There's tons of stuff, tons of content on the website, ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. If you're currently sideways with the IRS, you have years of unfiled tax returns keeping you up at night, make sure you go to Mark Milton. He's a proud St. Louis University Law School alum, earned his accounting degree from the University of Illinois. If you have IRS problems, visit stltaxlawyer.com today. Remember, the choice of a lawyer is an important decision, should not be based solely on advertisements. We're also brought to you by Ryan Kelly. He is the home loan expert. Rates are still dropping. Home equity is still up. Now the perfect time for a cash out refi. Rates will go back up soon. Act before they do. The average cash out refi with the home loan expert, $54,000. That's right, $54,000. Do that at thehomeloanexpert.com. Let's bring in Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Ben Fred Fridays on Scoops with Danny Mac. It's one that I always look forward to, and having a chance to catch up with my good buddy and find out what he's wrong about this past week. Good morning, Ben. How are you?
Wow. Happy Friday to you too, Dan. What am I wrong about this week? Well, I think I'm on, along with every other person in town, is on the Corey Dickerson apology tour.
Yeah, me too.
I never doubted Corey. I knew he was going to be the guy who could only get hits in at bats, and I just knew he would come around. No, I'm kidding.
I came out hot this weekend, didn't I? I came out hot for you. I mean, I just, bam, right there, right between the eyes.
Catching strays from the start. I've only had like one cup of coffee. I'm like, got to defend myself. That was Chicago, man.
It was great. It was a fun series. I think anytime that you have five games, you feel like you walk out of there beat up. But having said that, I don't feel that way nearly as much with this go around, because I think Jordan Montgomery set the tone. I think Montgomery saved your bacon in that series, because I'm not sure what direction the Cardinals would have gone in with their bullpen that night. So if Montgomery would have given you two innings, I don't know what happens. And he didn't, because the game before, Quintana went 2 2/3, had to go to your bullpen. There were guys missing. Ryan Helsley, obviously, with his newborn and his wife. You had some situations there where you weren't really sure what direction you're going to go, at least in my opinion. And he goes out and gives you a one-hitter and a shutout, and it just set the tone for everything. And really, pitching the whole time did. They didn't have short outings. They had outings that gave them a chance to win. So I don't think you feel as beat up as maybe you might be normally coming out of a five-game series at Wrigley.
Yeah, well said. Wrigley, a series like that, marathon series, is going to get weird. You just don't know how or when. And it kind of did, but the Cardinals, their key strengths were able to kind of carry them through that, where they feel really good, headed into a massive series against the Braves that starts tonight down at Busch. But Montgomery, man, if you're the Yankees, I don't think you felt real great about that trade as soon as you started seeing what he was doing with the Cardinals. And now they've got Nestor Cortes out with a hamstring injury, and they've got Frankie Montas, who at last check, Dan, has like a 9+ ERA.
Oh yeah.
And meanwhile, the Cardinals have Bob Gibson on the mound. Every time Jordan Montgomery goes out there, that was the longest start of his career. He just looks totally confident. He looks focused. He looks motivated. I think so much was made out of, you know, his shock when he was traded to the Cardinals, that some of what got overlooked was the fact that this guy's good, and he's also incredibly motivated. And then also he's working really well with Yadier Molina, who seems to be bringing out the best in him. So what a remarkable upgrade he's been. And Quintana, who goes tonight, has been pretty good too.
I think you have to give Yadi a ton of credit, Montgomery a ton of credit, because they've really used that four-seamer effectively, to where they're throwing inside to righties. It's about 20 to 25% yep. more that they're doing that with. And he's 6'6", and he throws from that angle, and he gets in on the righties. So that's been very good to see. I talked to him in Chicago. I said, "How's it going, man? You like it?" He goes, "I love it." And I said, "Oh, really?" And he said, "The thing I really love," he goes, "the atmosphere is great. The guys are great. He said, it takes me 8 minutes to get to the ballpark. He said, it's the best. He said, I go to the ballpark and I get my work in, and it's a fun atmosphere. And he said, it's just a different pace. It's a different change. It's just not New York. And it was like, no disrespect to New York. We all know that to get around New York, it's going to take a while. And the traffic is there. The people can be a little bit different. But he said, I'm loving it. You know, and again, he wasn't disrespecting New York whatsoever. He just said, I love what's happened here in St. Louis. So you never know. It could be a long-term type of thing where that turns out to be an amazing trade. But for the short term right now, it's a heck of a deal for the Cardinals. And I think the other part, too, that you have to look at, if you're a Yankees fan, the guy you got back hasn't even been on the field. That's frustrating. I mean, you want to see some type of return, but Bader has not even been on the field. So that's something to think about. All right, so it's Hall of Fame weekend. Let's go back, though, to yesterday just for a moment. You mentioned Corey Dickerson. He went 10 for 10. He's got now the all-time record for consecutive at-bats in Cardinals history with a hit. The other guy that has hit, it seems like, from day one, got a day off. It looked like it rejuvenated him a little bit, was Paul Goldschmidt, who's got 5 RBIs last night, and then, or yesterday, I should say, the 2 home runs and a legitimate shot to win the Triple Crown going into the final month of the season. It's just been an amazing year for him, and it's not just the Triple Crown, it's the advanced metrics, it's the advanced stats. He's leading everything. He's had just an incredible year.
I think it's almost like getting to the point where it's crazy to say a guy chasing down the Triple Crown hasn't gotten enough attention, because I feel like every week we're talking about what awesome thing Paul Goldschmidt has done. But with what's going on with Pujols, it's almost been overshadowed. And I don't think Paul minds at all, but they both deserve megaphones. And I mean, we're talking about something that has not been done by a National League hitter, Dan, since the 30s. You know, Joe Medwick was the last guy to do that in the National League. And I mean, that's eye-opening right there. It's going to be incredibly hard. Goldschmidt will be the first to tell you that. But with how he finishes seasons and how hot he can get and how hot he is right now, you don't count him out of it. The average is pretty much locked up. The home runs, the RBIs, that's going to be more of a challenge, especially the home runs, because it's probably a little bit harder to hit home runs in some of the places he will play than Kyle Schwarber, who seems to be dueling with him there in the NL. But I mean, it's the best way to put it, and it's what Adam Wainwright has said. Adam Wainwright he's talked about this recently, of trying to explain to guys what it was like to play with Albert when he was here the first time. And he said, what I've started doing this season, and he goes, they're seeing it now because Albert is doing Albert-type things in his role in this final season with the Cardinals. He goes, but what I tell them is, it's like Goldschmidt, but it was like 11 seasons of what Goldschmidt is doing this season, where, you know, he's playing excellent defense at first base. He's running the bases as well as anyone on the team, and he's almost always finding a way to do something at the plate. I mean, it's gotten to the point now, I mean, you're calling the games. When he goes up, especially when there's guys on base, it's not a matter of, is he going to do something to help them? It's what? It's what is he going to do and when? And he's as close to automatic right now as you can be. And I mean, I think it's great praise when a guy like Nolan Arenado, who's having a legitimate MVP type of season, is telling everyone who will listen that this is the best player in the league. You know, it's humility on Nolan's part. But he truly means it. I mean, he looks up to Paul Goldschmidt, and a lot of guys do, of the work he puts in, the results that he gets, and the way he handles that attention. It jumped out to me. One place I saw it was in the MLB draft, the televised part, where they'd ask every single player, Dan, who their favorite Major League Baseball player was. And you had, of course, the Trouts and the Harpers and the Otanis. But you had like 6 or 7 or 8 guys say, Paul Goldschmidt is the guy that I watch and want to be like. And I think that tells you there are a lot of coaches, college, high school, youth levels, who are telling their guys, hey, if you want to see a complete ball player, watch Paul Goldschmidt. And that's pretty good advice.
Well, part of the complete ball player is defense, too. And I said it during the telecast yesterday. I've never seen a first baseman, especially a right-handed first baseman, get to the ball that's thrown way up the line and be able to keep his foot on the bag. That saved the game yesterday, because Edmund made a ridiculous play off the bat of Morel, with the line drive to knock it down, and then just had to do everything he could just to get it close to the bag at first. And his stretch to stay on the bag and basically be parallel to the ground is just incredible. You don't see guys do that. You see guys maybe try to stretch early and it goes by them because they commit too early, or you just see them come off the bag because they don't want to, you know, take the chance of it getting away. And he took a chance, but stayed on the bag and made the play. It's just a remarkable play. And it might have been, of all the things that he did yesterday, as crazy as it sounds, that might have been the best play that he made on the field yesterday. And that's a guy that had five RBIs and two home runs.
Right, right. His in the NFL draft, they give receivers that catch radius graphic where it shows you the guy's body with his arms, you know, expanded, and then it shows you kind of around him like a spider web type of thing of all the balls that he could get to around him. And Paul Goldschmidt's catch radius as a first baseman in terms of being able to stop a errant throw and corral a wild one and turn it into an out is as good as certainly as good as I've ever seen. It's foot placement. It's how he times bounces. It's he can jump. I mean, that's something that probably doesn't get enough attention is this guy is a freak athlete. He is fast for his body size. I mean, he's a big, strong guy. He's fast. He's nimble. He's almost kind of got like an NBA power forward type of frame, and he uses it. I like watching him run the bases because it's like he has figured out, you know, he's got some Lou Brock in him where he's figured out the absolute fastest path around the bases. And he hits every single inside corner. You never see him do that, you know, big looping turn. You never see him get kind of off axis as he runs the bases. And he can get around those things quick, and it's also smart. Everything he does is like a combination of powerful, athletic, and super smart. And in baseball's a game where if you can continue to apply those things to every phase of the game, base running, defense, hitting, then it's going to show. And I think that's why part of the reason he's a great fit for St. Louis is because Cardinals fans appreciate all that stuff. They love talking base running. They love seeing great defense, and he provides all of it along with a bat that is right now as hot as we've seen here in a long, long time.
Yeah, first to third, he's one of the best in baseball. The Cardinals as a team, by the way, first to third on base hits are one of the best in baseball. I thought you had an interesting article about the automated strike zone. I do think it's coming to Major League Baseball. I don't think it's going to be next year because there's still some things that they need to master with this. But boy, oh boy, at times you watch these strike zones and you say it's got to happen. And again, umpires have a thankless job. No question about it. When they do well, you never hear a thing. When they don't, you hear everything about it. But I did think on this road trip, when you had CB Buckner kind of smiling at Ollie and almost baiting him, and then the other night, same thing with Arenado, he's smiling as he's throwing him out. I don't understand that. There's got to be accountability with that part of the job as well.
Yeah, they've lost me, man, and I've defended them for a long, long time. I love the pitch framing aspect of the game. I worry about what happens if that goes away. And I want to be crystal clear here, and I tried to point this out in the column I wrote. Like, I'm not talking – like, there's a big difference, Dan, between these guys who are doing this at the Major League Baseball level, highly paid professionals, highly trained, and the Saints who are out, you know, umpiring or reffing or officiating youth games or high school games. Like, people who do those for, you know, little to nothing, a lot of them are volunteers. They are the best of us, and they don't deserve any of the crap that comes their way with people whining about calls or all that stuff. There's a big difference between that and Major League Baseball, where we're talking about, you know, billion-dollar industries, and they've got to be better. And I'm with you, man. It's incredibly hard. It's never been harder. Velocity is up. Pitch movement is like we've never seen it before. And it is a hard job, but it still needs to be a job that's done well. And I wish they would have done a better job and would do a better job of getting their worst offenders not so much action behind the plate. And then here's the thing: when there are mistakes and they're going to happen, they're going to happen with an automated zone, then they have to be handled the right way. And I'm just, I feel like this month for the Cardinals, has just been filled with examples of umpires who think they're bigger than the game. You can't tell a rookie manager that he hasn't been in the league long enough to question you. That should not be an umpire's role. If you're going to eject a guy, eject him. But don't eject him and then stand there and smile in his face and try to goad him into doing something that everybody might regret later on. We've seen some really bad, inconsistent strike zones for the Cardinals. We've seen some really kind of just unprofessional behavior from umpires. I don't think it's a Cardinals-specific issue. This is happening across baseball. Look what happened with Madison Bumgarner and the weird, you know, hand check for foreign substances that led to him being ejected because the guy didn't even look at his hand. He just stared at Mad Bum the whole time until Mad Bum went off, then so he could throw him out. Like, that stuff's got to stop. No one's there to see the umpires, and I don't mean that as a knock on them. They're there to see the baseball game, and there are still some guys in this league who think it's about them. The thing that frustrates me is they know this is coming, this technology, this trend, and it should have been a real pressure on them to get things cleaned up, and I don't feel like they've done a good enough job of it. So I don't like being the guy who complains about umpires, but it just feels like with the Cardinals, they've really been dealing with some bad stuff. And I think some of it, part of it, is the fact that now they have kind of a reputation, Dan, of a team that's going to bark about balls and strikes, and Ollie is not afraid to go out there and argue, and he is new. And I wonder sometimes if they're receiving kind of the short end of the stick there. And I think that's bad. That shouldn't happen either.
No, just be better. Just be fair. Just be, doesn't matter if Ollie's got one year in the league or 50, it shouldn't matter. I mean, you call the game, the best you can. I am interested in this weekend. I think it's going to be an incredible weekend at the ballpark. Number one, you got Hall of Fame weekend and Julian Javier and Matt Holliday going in on Saturday, which will be very cool to see. I bet Holliday gets emotional in his speech, especially when he's talking about those that he helped and continues to help with Cardinal Glennon and Homers for Health, and they'll be represented in the crowd. You know that. So I'm looking forward to that. Then you get the Atlanta Braves. I am bullish on the Braves. Having seen them in a four-game series at Atlanta, I was like, this is the best team in the National League. And that included seeing the Dodgers, and that included the Mets. Now, you include the Mets with Scherzer, DeGrom back-to-back, it's maybe a different story in a short series. However, this is a great test this weekend. They're going to get Spencer Strider. This guy is nasty tonight. Quintana going for the Cardinals, coming off the short outing. So a measuring stick of sorts. Be back at home and facing one of the best teams in the league. So I think it's going to be a fun 3 days at the ballpark. And, oh, yeah, by the way, Albert Pujols back home after a ridiculous road trip, which is going to be cool to see, too, at some point when he gets in at bat.
Yeah, no, as my buddy Brendan Weesey says, no place does a does a home run countdown like St. Louis. So it's in full gear now. He is sniffing 700, and the ballpark will respond accordingly here. You know, hey, don't forget on the Holliday stuff, folks should understand, Matt Holliday, big part of the reason that that Nolan Arenado is here. So he gets credit, and deservingly so, for all of his great work as a Cardinal on the field, all of his great work as a Cardinal off the field. But his impact on the Cardinals is still playing out right now, because his appreciation for the Cardinals, the way that he communicated that to Nolan, it's a big part, I think, of the reason that Arenado is here, and a big part of the reason that I don't think, unless I'm wrong, John Mozeliak and Bill DeWitt and their crew are not losing sleep at night worrying about if Nolan Arenado is going to be exercising that opt-out at the end of the season. So Holliday is a big, big part of that. The last time we said this, Dan, that this was kind of a postseason stress test for the Cardinals, it was against the Yankees. And they went out and swept them, and everybody felt like, here come the Cardinals, and they've taken off. But we do wonder now, okay, was that as much of a Cardinals, you know, pushing the Yankees off track, or were the Yankees in a tailspin? Fair to debate that now. Are the Braves in a tailspin? No, they're playing great baseball. They're cruising. So maybe in some ways this is a bigger test than the one against the Yankees. And we'll see how the Cardinals respond here. They're a confident team. They're finding ways to win in different areas. They've got two of the best hitters going in the game, and they've got an X factor in Albert. They got their pitching lined up. This should be a hell of a series. It should feel like a postseason series this weekend at the ballpark.
I agree. And if you haven't seen Spencer Strider throw, this dude's nasty, man. He's fun to watch. I don't see Albert being in the lineup tonight. Again, I could be wrong, but we're talking about a guy that he loves to throw his fastball and throws it all the time and throws it close to 100 and comes right at you. So I would assume that Albert not in the lineup, but the reception that he'll get when he comes up that first time will be just remarkable. I don't know if it's a question of if now it's or when it's if. Wait a minute. If and when, you know what I'm saying?
If not, if it's when, not if.
Thank you. I messed that up the other day. I said pick to click to pick. I couldn't get it out because I had a million different things going on in my head, and Brad made fun of me, so I started laughing at that too. He makes me laugh all the time. But when I just look at it, I think he's going to get to A-Rod. I'm still not sure about 700. I think a lot of it will depend on, Ben, I don't know if you agree with this, but if they can open up a sizable enough lead to where they feel comfortable, more comfortable, and lean towards the idea of him facing right-handers, because you're going to face more right-handers than you are left-handers. So to give him that shot, he's going to have to face some right-handers, which I'm fine with, as long as it's the right one, because he's swinging the bat so well from, you know, whether you're facing a lefty or a righty, I feel comfortable with it, and he's a threat. He's such a threat right now in the batter's box that he's good for your team. But when you got Corey Dickerson doing what he's doing, those at-bats may be few and far between because of trying to make sure to keep the hot hand in there. So it's just, it's something that Ollie's going to have to balance as you go forward, but I think it's going to be fun to watch.
The bigger the lead on the division is, the greedier you can get.
For sure.
And I think Ollie will play by those rules. The other thing, too, is you want to kind of balance you want to have him super confident against everybody and in a great spot entering the postseason. So you got to balance that. You don't want to just play him every single day, because if he loses that kind of surge that he's got, then maybe it doesn't rebound in time. So it's a careful kind of balance. I like that Ollie, I would say, got a little greedy at Wrigley, and I think that was wise. It's a ballpark he knows. Those pitchers were not overpowering when he was facing righty. So I think that's how you play it. You look at, okay, who's the pitcher? Okay, it's a righty. Now we got to talk. If it's a lefty, you don't talk. You put him in. If it's a righty, okay, what does he throw? Is it super high velocity stuff that's hard to get a bat on potentially? Okay, maybe that's a down day for him. Is it a guy that he's got history against, good history? You think he can play him there? Is it something with a pitch profile that he can hit and has a good chance of hitting? Then I think you'll lean toward getting him in. But the biggest thing is the splits are the splits. I mean, Albert has struggled against righties now for seasons, so you're not probably going to drastically alter those. It's about picking your spots, and the quicker that you can feel like this division is in hand, the more you can say, okay, let's let him go hunt. The other thing is be aggressive using him, as we've seen pinch hitting wise. It's okay to pinch hit him early in a game. If you feel like there's a chance for a kill shot, take it. It's worked for the Cardinals when they've done that, notably with a pinch hit grand slam. So I feel okay about Ollie saying, hey, as soon as they go lefty reliever, be ready. And I think that's kind of a playoff type of move, Dan. And it's not the worst thing in the world to kind of start practicing some of those situations as you get closer to the playoffs. So that's how I would handle it. I think that's how they are going to. And I think Ollie really views this lineup every day and in game as not a static thing. I think he wants and is proving that this team is probably better off when it's playing a bunch of different pieces, depending on the matchup and how a game evolves. And Pujols is a big part of that. So I wouldn't start him against Strider either. This guy pitching tonight, Dan, is the kind of guy that, I mean, it sounds stupid to say, well, he's an elite right-hander. Yeah. And he's the kind of guy who could be a kryptonite for the Cardinals in the postseason. When they've struggled to hit, they're not as good against righties as a team, but the very best righties have seemed to be at their very best against this team. So it'll be, you know, we keep saying it'll be a good test. It should be a case of, okay, you know, in the postseason, you're going to get, you know, the Musgroves and the Darvishes and the Striders, and how can your lineup, which has been feasting lately, one of the best in baseball in the second half, Can it be, you know, resilient and tough against tough right-handers, talking the guys who are going to start games one and two of the postseason? If I were Ollie, I would treat tonight as like, let's view this as a playoff test for our lineup and how we're going to face a nasty righty.
Because we care. Your trusted source for basement repair. It's Stratum.
Do you have a waterproofing issue in your basement? Stratum Structural Systems is there to help. It's why they're the number one waterproofing company in the Midwest. They put the customer's interest first, provide lasting solutions, and eliminate the homeowner stress. StratumRepair.com.
Because we care. Your trusted source for basement repair. It's Stratum. Lou Fuse, we are St. Louis.
The Lou Fuse Automotive Network. They have new, pre-owned, commercial trucks, custom vehicles, stress-free car shopping. It's all with Lou Fuse. Head to Fuse.com to see the dealership near you. And don't forget about what they do for our community with Fuse Athletic. It's Lou Fuse, St. Louis's number one car dealer. Lou Fuse, we are St. Louis.
Lou Fuse, we are St. Louis.
At Hair Saloon for Men, you'll receive the perfect haircut, complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mint, and a complimentary shoe shine. It's all at Hair Saloon for Men. Lordo's Diamonds, for engagement rings, wedding bands, watches, fashion jewelry. It's all at lordosdiamonds.com. It's more than a tagline. It's their everyday ambition. Lordo's Diamonds, your family's jeweler for life. See more at lordosdiamonds.com.
So the Cardinals come in with a record now 72-53, 6-game lead on Milwaukee, and the Cardinals have been one of the best home teams in all of baseball at 40-21 and return to Busch tonight. The schedule came out, by the way, for next year, and for fans that don't know, you're going to play everybody in the league. Do you like that? Do you think that's good for baseball?
Everything is changing so much that I do like it. I think it's a chance to see some different teams, some different matchups. I feel like maybe it's the pandemic that has kind of made me think, whatever, you know, not that I don't like tradition for the sake of tradition's sake, but I'm okay with it. I feel like we've seen the game change so much here lately. It's going to have to change because they're probably going to bring on new teams at some point expansion wise. So kind of getting out in front of that a little bit. There are some things that I'm digging in my heels about, but they're few and I feel like they're few and far between these days. So I'm okay with this.
I am too. Hey, I got a quick football question for you because sometimes we do our Ben Fred Fridays and people say, why don't you talk about Illinois? Well, don't talk about Illinois. Go ahead. What do you got?
Well, I was going to say we better talk some football because the Mizzou season opener is on Thursday.
Right.
So we will not talk again until we have a post game of the first Mizzou football season of the year.
Ben, I'm getting there.
Okay, sorry.
Wyoming against Illinois. So that's at 3:00 at Memorial Stadium in Champaign. What do you know about Illinois football? Brett Bielema coming back for another season. You know, they want to run the football. That's what he did when he was at Wisconsin and tried to do at Arkansas. And the Illini are 5-7 under Bielema last year. So what are you anticipating for the Fighting Illini?
I think just more of a statement of, okay, this is what a Brett Bielema coach team is going to look like. He's had a chance to kind of get his fingerprints on this thing, and it should be a chance to say, hey, we're a bigger, stronger, more forceful Big Ten program now. Wyoming is a proud program. I used to cover Wyoming back in the day, and they're one of those teams that if you take them lightly, you could end up in a closer game or a potential loss. Missouri has found that out before. So it should be a kind of a sneaky good victory for Illinois. And it should be one that kind of sets the tone for which direction this is going. I think Missouri and Illinois in some ways are in similar spots where you don't realistically say, okay, this has to be a massive win total. This has to be, you know, this has to be a season that goes down in the history books. They both need to have seasons that say, okay, this is moving in the right direction. And this is the right coach who's going to prove that as he gets his players, as he develops his guys, that bigger and better things are to come.
And then you have Missouri on Thursday. La Tech will be the first opponent of the season. So I know that you've got a feel for Missouri football and what's happening down there. And you and Dave Matter do a great job covering Mizzou athletics. So What's your anticipation come Thursday night?
Well, first of all, I give Mizzou credit for getting this game switched around. Starting a game, a season on Thursday night is unique, but it's also, I think it's fun. I think it's cooler than having a, you know, like a 11 a.m. kickoff on a Saturday, which Missouri has had countless times before. It's a night game. It's out in front of some of the other games that will start. So you feel like you maybe a little get a little more attention. And it's a chance, I think, to start to get to know what this team is going to look like. It's the Brady Cook game, Dan. It's his first start since that bowl game loss to Army. He has earned this job. So much of this team's potential depends on what kind of performance they get from quarterback Eli Drinkwitz. He looked at transfers this offseason. He had three guys come and visit. They went elsewhere. The guy who stayed, the guy who didn't get in the transfer portal, the guy who grew up a massive Mizzou fan, he is the one who gets this shot, St. Louis local Brady Cook. And it's a chance to say, hey, you know, maybe I wasn't everybody's lead candidate entering this thing, but it's my team now. So if he can go out and really put up an encouraging performance and a win, then I think people feel better about that Kansas State game. Missouri starts 2-0, then maybe them getting picked, you know, next to last in the SEC East, it starts to look like it was a little bit of an undersell of this team. But all eyes will be on Brady in game one for sure.
All eyes on Luther Burden, too, I would say.
Yeah, who's got to get him the ball?
How's he looked? Have you heard anything about him in practices and whatnot?
I mean, he looks like he's ready to contribute at the SEC level, man. I mean, it's about getting the guy the ball, putting him in positions to perform. I'd like to see him return punts. Eli has kind of touched on that being a legitimate possibility. I just know when I watched him in high school, it was if you give him the ball in space, good things tend to happen. Now, is it going to happen at the rate that it did, you know, when he was at playing high school ball here in St. Louis? Probably not. But he still has speed. He has deceptiveness. He has strength that makes him a potential game breaker, even in the SEC as a true freshman. So get him the ball. Get him the ball in space. Give him some room to create and sit back and watch the show.
All right, let's wrap it up with this. I know you'll be busy this weekend at the Post-Dispatch, busy weekend at Busch Stadium. What do you got cooking?
Well, I've got a column for Saturday that I hope people check out. A little bit of a, not so much off the beaten path, but a curveball. I went down to Springfield and spent some time with Bobby Petrino. The Missouri State football team, Dan, is rolling, and it's a program that has had, well, it's really never been one that they can sit back and say, we are winning in football in the modern era. But they took a shot on Bobby Petrino. They took some criticism for giving the longtime coach who's been through some ups and downs a shot, but it's working, and they've got a chance to compete for a national championship at the FCS level this year. So spend some time with him down there and talk to AD Kyle Moats and some of his players, and that will be in tomorrow's paper.
That's amazing. You know, for the fallout of Bobby Petrino, I can't wait to read that article because or your feature or whatever you want to call it, your column, because Petrino is just prior to the stop at Missouri State, a lightning rod of controversy because of what happened off the field. And he was getting things done, man, everywhere he was at. Didn't matter where he coached, with the exception of maybe the Falcons. He was winning games. So, I mean, this guy knows how to get it done.
He talked about getting there and not wanting to go out maybe the way some thought he would. And he talked about seeing a program in Missouri State that had never won, and saying people tell him he can't win there. And I said, I want to change that. And he talked about going down there, and now he can hold his head high as players are. A great moment in the interview. He said, I got to campus. I went out and started looking for my football players. And he goes, I found them. They were walking around campus with their heads down and their shoulders sagged. And he goes, now I walk around campus and their heads are up. They're greeting people. Players are saying, you know, guys used to come up and say, hey, you guys stink. And now they're saying, hey, we'll be at the game.
That's great.
It's pretty remarkable what has happened there in a short amount of time. And I think you got to give, you know, Missouri State and Kyle Moats some credit. They said, hey, we're going to take some arrows for this initially, but we think it will pay off. And all indications are now that it has.
Incredible. That's a neat story. Looking forward to that. Hey, buddy, thanks for doing this, and we'll catch you up next week.
Sounds good, man. See you at the ballpark.